It's time for News for Seniors with Sally Hilly, brought to you by the Glenwood Retirement Community, located at 200 Timberline Drive in Marietta.
Well, good morning, and welcome to News for Seniors on this third Sunday in February. And of course, it is the day after Valentine's Day. Did you know how Valentine's Day got started? Well, it's named, of course, for St. Valentine's Day. But, you know, sending cards, flowers, chocolates, and other gifts, well, that originated in England. Paper valentines became popular in England in the early 19th century. They were assembled in factories. Fancy valentines made with real lace and ribbon. In 1835, 60,000 valentines were sent by post in Britain. In the United States, the first mass-produced valentines of embossed paper and lace were produced and sold shortly after 1847, and this was by Esther Holland, and she lived from 1828 until 1904. She was from Worcester, Massachusetts, and her father operated a large book and stationery store, so she decided to do like the English. And she imported her paper and her lace from them. The second half of the 20th century, this changing of gifts was extended to all manners of gifts. The U.S. Greeting Card Association estimated that approximately 190 million valentines are sent each year in the United States. Well, I hope you got a valentine this year. Did you know that old valentines are quite valuable? So take a look in the place where you store your extra stuff. You might find a valuable valentine. Anyway, happy Valentine's Day, a tele. Well, the other day, Nancy McDonald and I were talking about coffee and how expensive it is in restaurants. I said, I remember when coffee was only 5 cents a cup. And she said she knew of a place in New York that it's still 5 cents for a cup of coffee. Well, not that I didn't believe her, but I was curious. So I looked up Flo's Diner in Castoya, New York, and discovered that the price of coffee had gone up. Yes, it had gone up to 10 cents a cup. I discovered Flo's Diner had served the New York State people for 30 years. And their ad said they are open, and the winter hours are 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. They have over 100 menu items, and 15 items under $1. So if you ever get to Castandia, New York, be sure to stop in at Flo's Diner and have a cup of 10-cent coffee and pick up a few bargains. Well, it's time now for a word from my fine sponsor, Glenwood Retirement Community.
There's something special about Glenwood Retirement Community. From the beautifully landscaped campus to the social activities, you'll find relaxed, worry-free living designed with you in mind.
My social life here is great, a lot better than it was in my own home because I tended to sit there by myself. And here, you know, there's always somebody to talk to or go play cards with.
The best thing about Mom living at Glenwood is once in a while I get to come up here and eat. And the food is really good.
Connect with us at glenwoodretirement.org.
Did you ever have a player piano? They're really antiques now. We had one when I was a child. It was a huge one, and it was accompanied by a large cupboard that kept all the player rolls. It was just amazing to sit down at that piano, pump with your feet, and have great music coming out. I purchased a small one when we lived on Appian Way in Marietta, and the grandchildren loved to play it. Well, did you know that pianos in some form go way back to ancient Egypt? I looked it up and discovered that the piano became 300 years old in 2000 AD. Its evolution began in the 13th century when someone put a harp inside a box and added keys that struck rather than plucked strings. The first automatic piano was unveiled in New York City by Needham & Sons in 1880. It was built by R.W. Payne and was an adaptation of the original mechanism that was set up by William Tremaine at what later became the Erlitian Company. Since then, it's been a long series of incredible additions. In the spring and summer of 1896, Detroit's Edwin Scott Fulte invented the pianola in his home workshop at 312 Forest Avenue in Detroit. Fulte's first 1896 machine was in a piano-sized cabinet that was pushed up to the piano keyboard so that a row of wooden fingers aligned with the keys. It used perforated paper rolls and foot power pedals. His was the first self-playing piano attachment. He made his patent application based on a smaller version in 1897. On May 22, 1900, he was awarded a patent number for the first practical piano attachment. Well, the Chicago Columbian Exposition in 1898 saw the first large-scale use of his invention. His invention lit the thousands of lights made by the Thomas Edison Company and opened the door to practical electric transmission nationwide. Earlier in 1891, Eugene Singer's piano demonstrated an alternating current activating strings to achieve a more controlled play. Punched paper rolls for the first pianola were made by a technician perforating the paper after it was marked up in pencil using the original music score. The music sounded flat, like organ grinders playing due to the lack of expression. Later, roll recording pianists used a special recording piano that marked paper as the music, and that was played. This allowed some expression, such as tempo and phrasing, to be built in. The player piano's heyday lasted from 1900 to the Depression in the 1930s. Affordable radios started becoming commonplace in 1927. So in 1932, not a single player piano was shipped from the factories. Player pianos sound much better than radio or Edison's mechanical phonograph of that era. Player pianos were expensive, but families who had them enjoyed the musical talent of the best pianist of the day. The poverty of the Great Depression effectively ended player piano production. Uncounted for thousands of these instruments were chopped up and used for fuel. In 1905, Ludwig Hipsfield in Leipzig built the Dia reproduction piano. It reproduced the original artist's musical interpretation. Reproducing here means that the shading, expression, tempo changes used by the recording pianist were captured and played through rows of punched holes located in the margin of the piano roll. Three companies made reproducing mechanisms and licensed these to various piano manufacturers. The Erlenian Company, which started the technology, introduced the dual art reproducing piano. The long list of world-renowned pianists who recorded for dual art include the best of the classical composers and artists then living. The evolution of the reproducing vacuum-operated player piano continued through the 1930s, but the high cost and a down economy killed the market for these instruments. After the Second World War, prosperity returned. Interest in player pianos revived on a much diminished scale. Many of the instruments that survived were restored. Many more, unfortunately, were scrapped. Yet, technology continues to develop. Today, ORS Music makes Story and Clark electronic player pianos. Their electric system is called Panomination. Hope I pronounced that right. This system may be refitted to ordinary pianos and has the unique capacity of adding accompaniment by other instrument orchestras to the playing piano. Yamaha Company also sells player pianos with its fancy installed disc player system. This player system cannot be refitted to regular pianos. Should you be in the market for a piano and selecting one, the buyer should consider the room size. If selecting an upright rather than a grand piano design, the instrument should not be placed against a wall because doing so muffles the sound. Tone, touch, and durability are important. Case design, finish, and wood type influenced the cost. Well, I was on a tour once. I can't remember where it was, but there was a room filled with all kinds of pianos. It was so fascinating, especially to the younger people in our group. They were amazed, and they took turns pumping for the music. For me, it was a step back in time, remembering the fun that we all had with our old player pianos. Well, it's time to go. My fine sponsor is the Glenwood Retirement Community, where they have many activities for seniors. It's also a great place to live. My charity who will receive my salary this month is the ASPCA, who also helps shelters around the country with grants and expand or improve their adoption program. Just a reminder, this program can be heard on your computer. Just go to WMOA1490.com, click on Podcasts and Senior News, and you got it. Be sure to say a prayer for our country and the world. This is Sally Hilly saying, life is a gift. Make the most of it. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to News for Seniors with Sally Hilly, brought to you by the Glenwood Retirement Community, located at 200 Timberline Drive in Marietta.